As soon as I got here, Michael handed me over a paper, all folded up, and the only thing that said was Josh and Marco Chavez. And I sat down and Josh was preaching. I said, this is not right. No one notified me that I was going to be a speaker. I got many things to be thankful for, to the Lord. He has saved me. The missionaries have been repeatedly reminding you how many lives have been changed. And I'm just one of them. Not only did he save, he changed my life. And he's still doing it. Sometimes I put some resistance, but he's still changing my life. And he's blessed me enormously. From my salvation to my ministry to my family, the church I am in, you know, it's maybe the smallest church right now, but it's the church where the Lord has put me, and I am tremendously blessed. And I also want to thank him for you, because even though I am not a missionary come out of this church, this church has a part in my ministry. In offerings and in prayers, I know. I am sure of that. And I thank you all. I thank you all. If you would, in the book of Psalms, I don't... It's a nice pulpit, but it's not... I just don't feel good.
You need to put a chair.
No, no. That helps to break the ice, doesn't it?
You don't need this either.
No, I don't. No, I can't hide. I think I want it so I can hide. I am from the church in San Luis Potosí. And I am actually in the church in Pachuca. And both of these churches, right now, they're going through some hard times. The church in San Luis, as Mike has already mentioned to you, his pastor is not there all during the month. He's having to go work in another city, and I ask you to pray for Roberto Espinosa. He's been here with y'all. He's I know that has visited y'all, and I ask you to pray for the church in San Luis, and I also ask you to pray for the church in Pachuca. We in the next month of May, we're planning a revival meeting, and we've invited Brother Bill, and I ask you to pray for this. It's going to be now 3 years in San Luis, in Pachuca, I mean, and we've seen fruit, not much. It's just little fruit, but it's precious fruit. Amen. You know, even though it's been a lot of work, even if it was just one family,
yes.
How do you diminish that? How do you minimize and say, or think it's not been worth it?
Amen.
I can't even do that. So I hope you will have these things in your prayers. In the book of Psalms, please, chapter 9. I have here written in a corner of my message, be true, be brief, be seated. I will be true, and as soon as I'm done, I will be seated. I'll guarantee two, but I can't guarantee all. Two out of three is not bad. Psalms chapter 9, verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, For thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. It's not about the missionaries. It's not about the church that sent the missionaries. It's not about the souls that get saved. It's about Him.
Amen.
It's all about Him. It's about giving Him the honor and the glory that He deserves. And we do forget that.
Yes.
I know that I do. Having the truth, being saved, having the favor of God sometimes puts us in a place where we forget what is the important thing. And this verse I read some months ago, and it was a blessing to me because it reminds me this. It is about His name. It's about knowing Him. It's about having fellowship with Him. I'm not going to go into any other verses, but the one I just read. But I'd like to make three observations on the first part of the verse. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. First observation I'd like to make, this is a doctrinal statement. We're going to see it two other ways, but first, this is a doctrinal statement. It's about Him. It's about His name. It's about getting to know Him. And you cannot appreciate the name of Jesus if you do not know Jesus. And you see this, you know, in the world. You know, people taking the name of the Lord in vain.
Yes, brother.
And the reason I think, one of the reasons why they do it, they do not know Jesus.
Right.
So they have no appreciation for this name. They will have no respect for this name. Not only for the name, for His person, they'll have no respect for His sacrifice. I know religious people that say they believe and that they love the Lord Jesus and mock the wounds that He bared in His hands. They cannot appreciate whom they do not know. People do not come to Jesus because they do not appreciate who He is. You can't appreciate, you cannot love who you do not know.
That's true.
They will love a virgin, they will love an image, but they cannot love whom they do not know. They cannot honor if they do not know Him. They will honor a piece of wood. They will honor a sinful man. They will honor anything, but they will not honor Him because they do not know Him. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee.
That's right.
In order for them to love, in order for them to appreciate and honor and give Him entirely what He deserves, He needs to be known. And when He is known, then there's a tremendous change.
Right.
When they do know Him, then they will love Him. When they do know Him, then they will appreciate His name and mention no other name.
Yeah.
No other name but the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When they do know Him, they will understand and love not only the person, but also the sacrifice. And they will repent because of the things that have been in their hearts and in their mind. I remember when I first heard the name of Jesus being preached. Not the name Jesus, because that's something that I'd heard. I was brought up in religion. But when you really know this name, the changes that happen. He's not getting what He deserves.
Yeah, that's true.
His name is not getting
what
He deserves.
Amen.
And I look upon this and I'm looking at this verse and the things that have happened to me because I have trusted Him. Because I know Him. Because I've trusted Him. He's cleansed me from my sin. He's forgiven me. He's given me eternal life. They mentioned right now, those are just few of the blessings that He gives to us. But none of this happened until I knew Him. It is a doctrinal statement. It is the name above all names. Once you understand, there's no other name you will bow down but to His. There is no beauty in another name but in the name of Jesus. There is no power in another name but in the name of Jesus. There is no honor and praise but to His name. And after you know Him, you will have to admit, you would have to agree with me, this is a name worth trusting.
Amen. That's right.
Have you known this name? Have you known Him? Is this name precious?
Amen.
It's precious to me. It's a name worth trusting. Second of all, it's not only a doctrinal statement, it's also a conditional statement. I hope I make myself clear. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. They will trust. They will. If anybody's thinking about going and wondering, is it gonna happen? They will. They will trust His name. You know, it didn't take long for me to come to this point. Trusting. It took a month. And I think it would have been much earlier. I remember not understanding the complete doctrine, but I remember understanding I was a sinner condemned and going to hell. I understood there was a high priest in heaven with a sacrifice that could cleanse me from all spot, from all sin.
Yes, thank you.
And I understood, and it wasn't, it hadn't dawned on me. And I remember asking a sister, and I don't know if she was a sister at the time either, Rosalia, how long have you been here? She was already meeting there, and she said, months, but I'm not saved yet. I said, how long does it take for one? I said, well, I've been here so long, and I had only been there a month, so I thought, it's not time yet, but I need this. Obviously, I did not understand doctrine, right? Not much later, after asking this, I believe she was a sister. She is a sister. I got saved.
Amen.
It doesn't take long. It's not only my case. I remember a time, Brother Adrian, are you here?
Yes.
I remember one time going to visit one of the brothers in the church in Querétaro got his finger cut off. He was working, got his finger cut off, and we didn't know much about him. He hadn't been in the meeting, so we decided not to go preaching that day. So we went to go look him up at his house. We didn't know where his house was. We knew the street. We didn't know the house. So I remember Adrian saying, well, let's preach. I mean, let's preach. And when he hears it, he's in his house, he'll come out. And we'll do, that's pretty smart. he'll come out and we'll do the two things that, we'll look for him, see how he's doing, encourage him to come back to church, and we'll do what we had to do this morning. We'll do the preaching. He did not come out. We later found out he was in his room with his music full blast and just, a lady that cleans the house came out. And, she was the only one, I think. And we handed over a track, and just as we were handing over a track, a car just sped up and stopped. And I thought she was going to just get after this girl in working hours, and she was talking to the preachers. I said, man, I think I got her fired. The lady got down, she said, and I started talking to her. We were just preaching. I gave her a track. I gave the owner of the house a track. I says, you guys are the guys that my brother meets with. I said, yes. Your brother is such and such. We're looking for him, too. So, well, he's back there in the room. Let me go look for him. He came out. We had a chance to sit down right there in the living room. We gave him the gospel. She got saved that day. She's not in church right now. She backslid, but she got saved. It doesn't take long once you know Jesus.
Amen.
It doesn't take long to trust him. Same town, Querétaro, preaching downtown. You hand over a track. You have a conversation. He says, I'm not from here. I'm from León, from some other city. You probably heard of him, this particular Juan Giron, now one of the elders in the church in Querétaro. He lied. He lied. He said he wasn't from town. He was from town. He just didn't want to study. He was a Catholic. It was just a small conversation, but God had been dealing in his heart.
Amen.
That night, he got saved.
Amen.
They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. But it's a conditional statement. They need to know. They cannot know. They cannot trust if they do not know.
That's right.
And that's out the love, about loving God. In order for him to receive the love that he does deserve, in order for him to be trusted and believed, they need to know. They need to know. And it will not happen if they do not know. It's a conditional statement regarding his commission. And we find plenty of proof of that. You know, in the epistles of Paul, they can't call. They cannot believe. They cannot hear if there's not someone that's preaching it.
That's right. Yeah.
He promises in Isaiah that his word shall not return void. It shall accomplish that which I please. What is God's will towards mankind? What is his will? Is it condemnation? 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Salvation and knowledge is what he wants. But these things, salvation and knowledge, are not gonna happen if you do not take on the responsibility of letting them know.
That's right.
For his will to be completed, you need to do your part.
Amen.
I think I am gonna be able to accomplish the three things I said. I'm going so fast. It's a doctrinal statement. It's a conditional statement. But it's a command. It's a commanding statement too. I want you to look at it at a different perspective. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. It's doctrinal. They will trust when they know. It's conditional. They need to know in order to trust, but it's also a command. If you know him, he says, you will trust. And we've enjoyed the doctrine. We've believed it. We've made it ours. And we've obtained salvation. And yet we've slacked on the third.
Yeah, that's true.
You will trust. Because you know me. And I see myself not trusting even though I know.
Right.
And I've been in part of evangelistic conferences. And they who know are not trusting. They do not trust that he will provide.
Right.
They will not trust that there will be fruit. They do not trust that it is worth it.
Amen.
They do not trust that he will go and he will protect. And I have this message. Sometimes when we're not able to make it to the conference, I tell one of the missionaries, get me the CDs. I'd like to. And I have this message, and if not, will we trust? You know, how can I not? If it's going to be a lot of hard work and just a little bit of fruit, will I not trust? If there's going to be persecution, if my family, and it has not happened, and I thank the Lord, and I thank the churches, and the brothers and sisters that have a part, not only in my ministry, but in the missionaries' ministry, that have a part in evangelism, it has not happened yet, but if there's to be a little hunger, or a little sickness, or some tribulation, will I not trust that He will deliver me from those things? My father-in-law, he was talking about expectations. This is his expectation.
Trust.
You will trust. You've trusted me before. Will you not trust me now? You trust me for your salvation. You trust me when you send some out. Will you not trust me now?
Amen.
It's not easy. I know it's not. I fought it. For many years I fought this thing. You know, Mike was talking about those that volunteer, those that are drafted. And yet we may say, I am not a volunteer, and He's not calling me. Let me just give you my personal point of view of this. Volunteers, yes. There's those that He drafts, yes. But how about when He's calling and no one stands up? You're not volunteering. He's not calling you. I remember that being the case when I was wrestling with this idea. I remember being in conferences like this in Mexico, fighting with it. I do not want to go. First time I saw the preaching, I said, I don't want a part of it. Second time I saw Michael, and I said, boy, he's bold. But I will never do that. I did not want to. I don't believe I was drafted. But I see many that dropped the ball, that fumbled, and the ball lay there. Isn't it our responsibility to fulfill the lack?
That's right.
Isn't it? Okay, you're not called. Okay, you're not a volunteer. But there is a lack.
Amen.
There is a lack of people saying, I will go. Send me.
That's right.
There is a tremendous lack of people recognizing the Lord has put His will in them, either to send them out or just to have them in a part of evangelism. So when you see that lack, when you see that ball on the floor, how can you just let it go by?
Amen.
There is no way out. Called, drafted, or picking up that fumble. I want to thank the Lord. I want to give honor and praise to His name. I want to thank this church for the vision that it has. And I want to leave you with this last statement that you find on Psalms chapter 9 verse 10. You that know my name, will you not trust me? Will you not trust?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.